A perfect example of how a soul becomes strongly attached to its past life, a true story. Hello again, thank you for being here with me once again. I hope you are all very well. I'm Marie Swaru. As I have been saying all along, we are simply more people like you. We simply live in a more expanded playground, and by this I mean space. Humans, at least officially, are allowed to move around planet Earth in a more or less free manner, as long as they follow certain rules, of course, while being told that Earth is all that exists, the only place that can harbor life, at least until now that governments began to promote the false alien invasion, but that is another topic. In the same way, star people are allowed to roam the galaxy, also more or less freely and as long as they also follow certain rules imposed by the government, that is, the Galactic Federation, and star people also deal with similar problems, like humans do on Earth, but just more expanded, or bigger as the playground gets bigger. But there is another more fundamental difference between humans and stellar people, and that is being able to be aware of more dimensions. As my group and I always say, there are no densities as such since they are only products of the mind, and the level of consciousness of the subject that experiences reality, which is nothing more than a direct reflection, a mirror of itself. A density is not a dimension, but they are connected because as your consciousness expands, so does your frequency. And your existential frequency is the vibration that dictates what density you will perceive and live in, and with more awareness and knowledge, more details in your environment and your life. With expanded consciousness you can perceive and understand those expanded details that now define the dimensions of which you are capable of being aware. As a general rule, the greater the density you can be aware of, the more complex dimensions you can perceive and understand. Many people say that living on Earth is 3D, and everything else in space is 5D. As I said before, things are not that simple, but this is good for explanatory uses, like now. Living in space and in the more expanded so-called 5D, you can perceive more details about reality in general, how it is structured and how it works. And a good example of this is the ability to be aware of past lives, have a clear memory, theirs, and also those of other people. This is done naturally because most of us here remember who we were before, so we naturally understand how the entire reincarnation process works and we can also use complex technological devices to further aid our understanding. All of this that I have just explained is the necessary context to understand today's story, how we know the things that I am going to narrate, and why we see them as facts and not as simple speculations or coincidences. The following anecdote about how a soul is strongly attached to who they were in their past life or lives is a true story and involves one of the crew members aboard the Talika spaceship, who is human. She is the last person from this crew extracted from Earth, and the one who gave us permission from her to share all of this with you. Clarification: after this extraction, the High Command of this ship and the High Council in Taygeta made the determination not to extract anyone else, because of the enormous problems it caused, especially with the Galactic Federation and its rules. The names in this story were changed. This is a perfect example of why we must learn to let go of the mistakes of the past, and focus our efforts and attention on our present life, making the best of it, while living in gratitude and forgiveness, but without letting other forces, or beings, walk over us in the process. The story. Joe is the middle son of a wealthy family from Mexico that was dedicated to exporting products. When he grew up, his family was able to send him abroad to study medicine, which he achieved with honors. Then he moved to Europe, where he earned his doctorate, and soon after became well known and respected by his medical community for treating complicated bone fractures. While living in Europe, he met Keita, who was also a doctor, and although he was from another country, he had relatives living in Mexico, a fact that brought them both closer together. They married soon after and moved to the United States, where their first two children were born, first a son they named Joe in honor of his father, and then a daughter they named Keita, in honor of their mother. After some time there, they moved to live in Mexico City, where Joe found a very good job in a good hospital in Mexico. As Keita was very religious, one child came after another, ending up with a total of six children, three boys and three girls, who are named from eldest to youngest, Joe, Keita, Luis, Anita, Sondra and Xavier. Although Keita, the mother, was also a doctor, she dedicated herself to her children, leaving all the economic weight on Joe's shoulders, and although he earned good money as a doctor, all his efforts were focused on raising his family, as they were so numerous, and having to maintain a high standard of living, money was never enough. Now we change characters in the story. Beth was born into an upper-middle-class Mexican family, involved with transportation companies, among other related services. She was the second of five siblings and the oldest of the girls, which even at a young age caused her mother to impose all kinds of responsibilities on her, that were far beyond the capacity of her age, leaving her no time for her childhood. As she grew up, she was sent to the best schools in the city, including a prestigious school where she finished her studies that included the English language. At 16, she was enrolled to work as a high-level secretary in one of the best hospitals, where many years later she met someone from Mexican politics. She had a brief romance with him, but it didn't last because the young man's mother didn't approve of her, so he ended the relationship and simply discarded Beth because she wasn't enough for his family's high standards, leaving Beth emotionally devastated, but he continued working at that hospital for many more years. Changing the characters of the story back again to Joe and Keita, and her family. One hot summer, Joe had several days of vacation, so he and his wife Keita decided to take a road trip in their car to a beach in Mexico, by the sea, as they had done many times before. Joe preferred secluded beaches far from civilization and cheap hotels full of tourists. One morning, his daughter Sondra decided to take a bath while the others were on the beach inflating a rubber boat, except Joe the father who was sleeping in a hammock under two palm trees. Unexpected strong currents began to drag Sondra into the ocean, as she screamed for help, and since Keita, her mother, was an expert swimmer, she ran to her daughter's rescue. Keita somehow managed to save her daughter's life, but drowned herself in the process, while Joe remained sleeping under two palm trees. Joe and his family were very traumatized by Keita's tragic death, and being alone and far from his friends, Joe decided to sit his dead wife in his car, as if she were sleeping, and surrounded by all the children, and drive all the way home, obviously traumatizing them all even more. Suddenly, Joe was left alone to raise six children alone, while he worked a time-consuming and mentally challenging job. Less than a year after that tragic incident, Joe met Beth. After all, they worked at the same hospital and started dating. She took Beth to meet her six children, and for some strange reason, Beth felt terrible grief for all of them, not only because they had lost their mother, but also because of the abandoned state in which she found them, sleeping between dirty sheets, and wearing old torn clothes, and with the house in a total mess inside, among other things that I can't even imagine. Beth felt the enormous need to help them. For some cosmic reason, she felt that the responsibility was hers, So less than a year later she married Joe, although she was no less than 20 years younger than him. By then Joe's children were quite older, two of them young adults, and the rest were teenagers, except for the youngest, Xavier, who was around 9 years old at the time. And as expected, Joe's children did not like the idea of their mother being replaced by Beth, and although they were forced to accept it, things were never good between Beth and Joe's children, who constantly belittled Beth, and even insulted her, constantly. No matter what Beth did, no matter how much effort she tried, Joe's children never fully accepted her, even though there may have been some moments of peace. Just 1 year after getting married, Joe and Beth's first son was born, whom they named Diego, and 2 years later they had a daughter, whom they named Anna. It is disconcerting to me to note that Joe already had a daughter named Anita, who is basically Anna, and then has another daughter whom he also then calls Anna. I find it absurd and a total lack of imagination. Looking at this from the point of view of the Russian language, one of the many languages spoken here among the crew members, it becomes even more absurd, because in Russian the name Anna also means she. As if in English you named your first daughter, she, and then you had another daughter, you don't know what to call her, so you decide to call her, she, too. I mean, she is good for any daughter, right? Although Joe's first six children initially took his two new half-siblings as toys, after all, children are cute when they are little, there was never a real connection between both sets of children as there was a very strong generation gap between them. As Anna, the youngest, explained to me, her childhood and that of her brother Diego, a little older, was quite happy and full of trips in new cars to the beach, yes to the beach, again, where Anna describes irresponsibly left alone to swim and splashing on the beach since she was very little, her brother Diego too, as if their father didn't know better. During their first 10 years of life they were reasonably happy, and enjoyed the very sporadic presence of some of their six older brothers and sisters, who by then were already managing on their own, were independent and were looking for their place in life. Joe the father, is already retired from being a doctor, but despite being retired, people continued to look for him, much to his annoyance because he no longer wanted to know anything about medicine. At the time, he was in his early 50s and lived with Beth and her two children. Joe had developed a strong rejection and even hatred towards society, understandably after such a difficult life, so he decided to buy a piece of land in a very isolated place in the rainforest in the mountains. He manages to build a large house there, in the forest, far from civilization, without electricity, and with white water rivers, difficult to cross with a vehicle all year round, and impossible in the rainy season, since vehicles must ford rivers that have a difficult rocky bottom. The problem here is that Joe is already almost 60 years old, but he has a wife, Beth, who is 20 years younger than him, and two children, Diego and Anna, who are then 11 and 9 years old. Joe forced Beth and her two children to live in almost total isolation, cut off from civilization, even though they knew what it was like to be free, to travel and have friends and a social life. During all this time, Joe's first six children came to visit them for Christmas and so on, never without a fight or a series of insults against Beth, who, like always, did everything possible to win her hearts, but everything was in vain. As Anna explained, when she and her brother Diego became teenagers, they also suffered constant belittling and insults from the six visiting half-brothers and sisters. They were always considered bastards, and spoiled brats, perhaps simply because they were seen as having their lives figured out, and with a mother and a father, especially for having a mother. And even though they were isolated, Beth continued to stress herself and do everything she could to win the hearts of the first six children. Diego and Anna were homeschooled while in the mountains, but both suffered strong feelings of worthlessness and abandonment, as well as a strong resentment against their father, which forced them to live there in the mountains, with complete disregard for their needs, and in a total narcissistic manner. Joe thought he had the right to do so, since he probably reasoned that he had already suffered enough while raising his other children, so now it was his time to do whatever he wanted. Joe and his new family lived there in the rainforest for 10 long years, until the now precarious economic conditions forced Beth to look for work in the nearest town, a few kilometers away, and she finally had to move to that town, since it was impossible to go to and from the house in the forest every day. Diego and Anna were finally able to enter a university to study for a degree, which was constantly interrupted when they had to return with their parents to the mountain forest house to spend the holidays, or when their father said so, again with total disregard for their needs. Beth continued working at that local job, where she earned well, but then spent much of her money helping Joe's first six children with complete disregard for the needs of her own, which she exploited as if they were her employees in order to satisfy her need to help those other six who never recognized any of her efforts. Then the oldest of the six, also trying to solve his financial problems, decides to move to the same town, and of course, Beth and Joe open the doors of their house to Joe Jr., forcing Diego and Anna to return to live in the forest house, even though they were both struggling to finish their careers. By then, the pandemic that you all know began while Anna was finishing her career as a doctor, following in the footsteps of her father. With a serious problem of low self-esteem, Diego and Anna, who were already young adults, could not take care of themselves, also due to the time-consuming demands of their careers. Anna was being forced to accept the unacceptable that goes in her arm, or else she would not be allowed to finish her degree, plus the pandemic, plus her mother and father forcing her to live in isolation, again, so that Joe Jr. and his family could have their townhouse. To make matters worse, Joe Sr., now an older man, developed acute dementia, likely caused by his repressed anger and hostility towards society, and needed constant care. All of this together forced Anna to be extracted, not without huge drama and complications of all kinds, as she and her brother Diego are confirmed Tejetan starseeds. You should know that Anna is Anika's immediate past life, the Anika you all knew, the same soul. As for Diego, he is still down there, with his own family, and without contact with his sister Anna who is here. He is still fighting against his six older half-brothers and sisters who constantly want to trample on him, and fighting against Beth, his very narcissistic elderly mother, who became this way as an obvious result of a hard life full of narcissistic abuse against her as well. To finish this long story, Keita, the mother of the six, and Beth are the same soul. We have our ways of knowing it as a fact, also because all of this is still in progress, and is part of the personal cases the crew of this Tejetan ship follows closely, but doing everything possible not to interfere. Keita died not having been able to fulfill her role as mother to her six children, so she was reincarnated as Beth, who did the best she could to be their replacement mother, even despite the strong and constant rejections. And what is much worse, to the terrible detriment of her two real children, whom she only considered as extensions of herself, and as tools at her disposal, more than anything to please her initial six children, the ones she had first, and with another body. Her two real children were never appreciated by her. She never did anything honest for them, who always lived in the shadow of the initial six. Reincarnation is not linear, since time is only a perception, and it is not sequential either. This means that anyone's and everyone's reincarnations are also walking around you, living simultaneously, coinciding in the same period of time. Discarding non-real characters, or NPCs, who have no one inside them and are the biological equivalent of a walking and talking lamppost, or a telephone booth, every person with a soul is you, at one point or another in your spiritual progression. On and off Earth, equally. Everything we do to another, we are doing to ourselves. And since everyone else in the entire universe is a version of us, of you, forgiving others for their wrongdoings is forgiving yourself. There is no need to hold old grudges as they only cause you to reincarnate and cause more pain. You must understand how all this works, studying reincarnation and spirituality in depth, to free yourself from having to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. The case of Keita, who is reincarnated as Beth, is also a classic example of having to repeat the same life, with the same people, with a twist perhaps, but this time harder. The more you repeat the same patterns, the harder it becomes to live. This story was developed with the close collaboration of Anna herself. Thank you for watching my long video and understanding why this story is relevant. Thank you for liking and subscribing, it helps me a lot. Take care and until next time. With much love, your friend, Marie Soirou.